episode to the second of the Pet Boy is the Gridiron with the Greencast. It is just your gaming from last week. I'm your host Ace, and joining me are those girls.
Hello.
And Prince.
Hello.
We've got some stuff to talk about, and it may surprise you, but this week we're going to talk about NFTs at some point, because we never do that. We'll start, as we always do, with what's people been playing this past week. Gauze, why don't you take us away?
More Bayonetta. I finished my first playthrough. Now I'm replaying it to improve my scores, because they were awful the first time, and now I kind of know what I'm doing, so I want to improve them and move on to higher difficulty, hopefully. And I also been playing Aragami 2, which Ace recommended, I think.
Yep.
And
how are you finding it?
Sorry?
How are you finding it?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I was struggling a bit initially because some technical difficulties, and then I was trying to play the game in a pacifist way by not killing anyone, and that didn't really work. Like it helps to kill everyone, then the game is much more fun.
It's much easier, but you do get points for letting people live as well.
Yeah. There's like three badges that you can get in each map. One for killing everyone, one for killing no one, and one for staying hidden throughout the level. But you can get those in separate playthroughs, so that's good.
It'd be really punishing if the game said you have to not kill everyone and kill everyone.
I mean, just bring them back afterwards. What's the problem? just fit some strings on them and puppeteer them after you kill them and they're back.
Weekend Aragamis. What about you, Prince? What have you been playing?
Mostly, I've been on a huge Jazz Jackrabbit 2 kick. I grew up with that game, so I'm really attached to it. But to be honest, right after this podcast is done, like immediately, I'm going to play Silent Hill 2. Because before the podcast, I was watching this Silent Hill 2 iceberg that just like got put up like 6 days ago on YouTube. And it was terrible. Absolutely. I'm so fucking pissed about it that I got to play Silent Hill 2 to cleanse myself as soon as we're done with this.
I'm sorry, iceberg?
Yeah, well, like those, it's a YouTube trend where, just like all of this information is gathered about a topic, and then the most common information is like at the top of like the quote unquote iceberg, and then as you go like further down it, you're going deeper into it, because like, you know, you never see what's under the surface when there's an iceberg. Like, it's crazy bigger, usually horrible looking. Like, like it's gonna take out the Titanic. So icebergs are just kind of like, you know, you by the end you're expecting to get into like crazy shit on this topic that like nobody knows about.
Oh, I hadn't heard the term. Thank you.
It's fun. You should check it out. I'm sure there's like a Transformers iceberg that you would like absolutely love out there.
I will. I'll endeavor to find it.
I've seen a bunch of those videos, but like I never watched any of them.
I watch them all the time, to be honest, because I'm a huge sucker for like useless, trivial information, especially about things I like. But they really irk me when information is like wrong because of that, because I know a lot of people watch those things because they're looking for new information to gather. And so that's like it actually really pisses me off. Oh, I hate misinformation sometimes.
The main character loves ham. But you know for a fact he loves chicken.
Oh, I wish things were that simple.
They get that wrong. I mean, Simon Belmont clearly would eat ham if Ham would fall out of the walls when he breaks them. But there's chicken in walls. So he has to eat chicken. He has no other choice. I'm sorry, I went on a tangent there.
A tangent on this podcast? On a podcast anywhere?
Yeah. That's like the point. Tangents.
Myself, I played a bunch of Deus Ex Human Revolution. I've gotten past the part which was originally released as DLC, where you find out what happened to Adam in between getting into a stasis pod in Hengsha and coming out of it towards the end of the game, because apparently something happened there, even though I'm not sure if it's referenced afterwards. But in the director's cut, they kind of stitched it into where it should have been in the plot. So I've been playing through that quite a bit to try and get to the end of my Deus Ex Diaries for Human Revolution and move on to The Fall, which is the next game in the series and second to last, which you can read on GameGrin.com. And of course, played a bit more of Danganronpa Trigger Happy Havoc and found the next murder victim.
And oh my gosh.
Solved that case.
What'd you think, Ace? What did you think?
I saw the twist coming, but, well, a couple of the twists actually. But I couldn't work out who did the murder until we were, you know, going through the. Through the evidence and the court case, which actually is what happened last time. I don't think that you can work out who did it before you get into the court case. Because you can analyze the evidence all you like, but it didn't scream as, and that person is the one who did it.
I think it depends, like, on the case. Like, for that one, because that was, what, the second one, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, for that one, no, I don't think you can work that out just by the evidence alone. But I know for some of them, like, you can't. Like, the first one, it's, like, so fucking, it pisses me off because it's so glaring and obvious. I love it. But there are some of them as you go on that'll be, like, yeah, you could tell who did it. Especially the second game, it's a little more, like, you could tell, I think. Sorry.
I am still really enjoying it.
I'm glad!
I don't actually know how many court cases there's going to be, because, like, there's a limited number of kids, but I don't know how the game ends, clearly, but I can't imagine that everyone's going to die by the end. I mean, there's got to be at least a couple of them that survive. I know you're eager to not spoil, so...
You know, I don't want to spoil. I'm like, if you ask me, I'll tell you, but I don't want to, like, I never want to, like, without...
I'm sure if it burns me, I can just go to GameFAQs and find out how many court cases there are, at least.
That's probably true. You could probably just look up the number.
Or just tweet... I'm playing this game. Please, no spoilers. I'm sure someone will slide into my mentions.
Just watch the Danganronpa iceberg.
Oh my gosh. Who's your favorite character so far? Do you have a favorite character? What do you think of these characters?
They're quite varied. I thought they might be a bit stereotypical or generic, but no, they've got some depth to them. So it's been quite fun getting to know him.
Yeah, I guess it is fun getting to know him. That's like the fun part. It's like eventually you get attached, Ace, and it hurts a little. I love it.
I do like and hate Monokuma.
Me too. I'm polarized on him just because, like, yeah, he sucks and he's kind of like the antagonist, but like, goddamn, well, I love that fucking
He's
bear.
Having so much fun.
Yeah, literally, though.
When an antagonist is clearly having fun, it makes them a better antagonist.
It's so true.
Emperor Palpatine?
I have to take your word for that.
I mean, he's amazing.
You know what's is amazing? The fact that Game Pass is not going to increase their price for the foreseeable future.
Woo!
Phil Spencer, the guy in charge at Xbox, has said that an increase isn't in the pipeline at the moment because he's been, well, because of all of these acquisitions that Xbox have been doing. Clearly, rumors have been going around, although any day now they're going to raise the price of Xbox Game Pass. And he's come out and said, well, we haven't done it for 4 years. Why would we do it now? Of course, they did try and double the price of Xbox Live Gold a while ago, and people were unhappy, so they quickly decided to not do that. That was start of last year, in fact. But the Gold and Game Pass subscriptions have all been merged into one thing, so it's kind of amazing that they haven't increased the price yet. Do either of you subscribe?
No, I'm sorry. I don't. I've never been an Xbox person, to be honest. I had an original, but that was mostly for like having my music downloaded on, because that was badass, to be honest. Like, that was the original Xbox is like such a top tier machine, but I did not even really game on it that much. I'm not an Xbox person. That's awesome for Xbox fans, though. I'm very happy for them. $10 a month, I feel like it's a very good price, and they have a very good library from what I've seen. Like, I'm really jealous of it as a PlayStation fan, because all we get is fucking PlayStation Now, and that shit kind of sucks. Like, they don't put that many good games on there, and when they do, they're only on there for like 6 months, and it blows. So like, good for Xbox fans. Man, $10 a month? I'm kind of jealous.
Well, I'm playing Danganronpa on Game Pass, so
yeah,
and my wife uses my Game Pass to get, because it's on the same console, so she downloads games and plays them, and my kids can use it on their Xbox if I am not using the Xbox at the time.
See, that's so nice. I feel like it's a good way to get into new games and stuff too, like, because I feel like there are games that you can just try them out. You don't even necessarily have to commit, I feel like, because you're not buying a game, you're already subscribed.
Yeah.
It's nice.
And with the ability to, well, with the Xbox Cloud Gaming, you don't even have to download the games to give it a try.
Okay, so that's cool. Oh my gosh. PlayStation Now is similar, except for it's mostly cloud gaming. That's my biggest issue with it, is there are very few downloadable games compared to cloud gaming. Kind of blows.
Well, with PlayStation Plus, you get a couple of... Is it a couple or is it just one? PlayStation 4 games and a PlayStation 5 game.
Oh my God.
But no Vita or PS3 for a number of years now.
You know, I wish they had Vita games, to be honest. That's... Fuck, man. That would help me. I would actually subscribe to PlayStation Now if they actually did, like, Vita service. But they don't care about the Vita.
No, it's far too late to,
yeah,
to
get
something new on the Vita.
Yeah, I know, it's way too late. It's a shame, because it's, like, literally my favorite handheld console. It's so good. Oh, my God. So mad about it still.
I mean, if you don't count consoles that turn into handhelds, it's probably the most popular, the most beloved handheld device.
Well, yeah, I've never met anyone who actually, like, owns one that has hated it. Like, I mean, I wasn't on the Vita train until I got one, because I got one secondhand last year. I bought it with I bought it with Gravity Rush and the Sly Cooper series for like $60, which is insane.
Crikey.
I know. Super cool. I'm still happy about it. And I realized it was like the Superior Machine the same day I got it. I was like, what the hell is this thing? It was so cool. I could do, like, the thing that got me is it crossplays, or not crossplays, I could use it as a controller, or I could play games on it from both my PS3 and my PS4. And yeah. I think that's amazing. Like, that's fucking amazing. That's so impressive to me. I cannot believe we've given up this technology. What the hell?
I can. It's because Sony were expected to let you have the Vita version and the PlayStation 4 version, no matter which you bought, but they wanted you to buy both versions so that you could use cross-save. And people don't like buying the same game twice when not every game requires you to buy it twice.
See, that I do, like, yeah, that's true, because I would not be buying the same game twice. Like, the main reason I won't ever get the main, like, a lot of people look at Persona 4 Dancing as, like, one of those Vita games you actually should own, because it's, there's not a lot of good Vita games, but that one is a good Vita game. But I will never buy it, because I already own it on my PS4, so if I really want to play it on my Vita, I'll just take that superior PS4 port and, like, stream it to my Vita. It is the superior port. Like, they fixed a lot of issues.
Something I wonder if people have tried is streaming Cyberpunk 2077 onto their Vita.
Oh,
because
my God.
The
well, now you've given me idea.
PlayStation 4 has a version. It's an inferior version, and apparently only got fixed after the massive, massive patch that was released the other day got a second patch.
Wait, can normal PS4s now play Cyberpunk? Because I know
apparently they could play it before. It's just
not
it's a downgraded version.
I know. I was like, I was literally told to avoid playing like Cyberpunk. Like recently, I was told to avoid it because it would not, like, my PS4 would be unhappy with it. Like, it was gonna heat up. Like, it was a bad thing. Because I have an older PS4 now. I might get a new one just to play Cyberpunk, to be honest. But even then, it's like, just, I don't know. Like, I want to try this Vita idea. And if the game now actually won't kill my PS4, I will play it on my Vita.
On your Vita.
Yeah, I'll buy the game just for that. It's like fucking $10 at GameStop worth. No one wants it.
Well, the 1.5 patch dropped and introduced some additions like new cosmetics for V and tons of improvements, like the NPCs are a bit smarter, and they didn't fix everything because vehicles will still appear out of nowhere. My wife was playing the trial version on the Xbox Series X, and that just happened. And then that was the other day. And then today, she was playing it on PC, and an NPC walked past in T-pose with no head. So clearly they've not fixed everything.
That is bad.
The update was about 50 gigabytes, give or take, across all the platforms. And then a few days later, it had another 10 gigabyte patch because people, when they put in the disc in their PlayStation 4, it was coming with an error message and crashing and saying, you can't play this, try reinstalling it, basically.
My God.
And on the PC, it was apparently causing audio software conflicts, and you had to disable your audio driver before launching the game and then re-enabling your audio driver. So they fixed these things in an additional 10 gigabyte patch, and as I've just said, clearly missed some other stuff.
God, I can't even imagine, like, releasing what is two patches that amount to what, 60 gigabytes? And it's like, you still have all of those. And this is on top of the game, which is already so much like fucking gigabytes already. That's so much space and it's still kind of broken. I'm amazed. Like, what's going on? Why is it? It's so much space. Oh my God.
People were saying when it released in and was not great that it should have had another year's worth of development, but clearly it needed more than a year's worth.
Yeah. Wow. They just, I mean, I get like, there was a lot of hype. So I understand from a business perspective on why they even thought to chance releasing it like this, but like, holy shit, this has been such a huge mistake from that business perspective. And from a normal perspective, it's a fucking dumpster fire. Like, why would you do this in the first place? Holy shit. Just finish the game. Just finish your games. Oh my God. I miss the days when, like, before patches and DLC and all that crap, where you could just buy a finished game, and even if, like, if it was bad, it was always gonna be bad, and that's how that is, and you move on. But, like, instead, it's just, it keeps us hoping. Like, this is fucking horrible. Cyberpunk is gonna lead us on for years, I feel like. Oh, we tried to fix it again. Oh, we tried to fix it again. It's never gonna get fixed. This is stupid. Ah, I might be wrong. Like, No Man's Sky, I feel like, kind of proves me wrong because they actually fixed the issues they have. No. They never had issues like this.
I'm going to interrupt you. Well, in fact, no. You were just saying what I was going to say. It wasn't a broken game. It was just missing features that they claimed were in there.
Exactly. Like, their whole thing was they made a great game, to be honest, in my opinion. It looked beautiful. And then they lied about so much shit upon, like, upcoming to release, and then they had to fix all that because they lied about it and they made us buy that game. But then, like, Cyberpunk isn't even like that. It's just straight up broken, and they lied to us, but it's mostly broken. Like, God, they're gonna string us on for years and years and years, and we want it to be a success story, and it's never gonna be a success story because it's bad. Anyway, sorry about that.
It's supposed to be getting DLC and like a new game plus.
No, we don't need that. We need the game to be fixed. Why would I want DLC if the game doesn't work?
Well, it will be a fixed game DLC.
You gotta pay money to
another $60.
But yeah, I think I'm gonna wait for Cyberpunk 2078 and see how that turns out. Maybe that will work.
I mean, if CD Projekt Red are a games development studio, you gotta think that they are working on another game as well as trying to repair this.
Maybe they should, like, move on. Like, I mean, no offense, and I'm sure they sunk a lot of fucking money into Cyberpunk, but, like, at this point, I'm not sure if they can salvage what they've created in this case. Like, holy shit. Move on, make a better game, or don't move on and don't make a better game, but actually work on making Cyberpunk a good game. Like, make a choice. Don't do both at the same time, because I don't think it's gonna work out.
Well, there's environment artists and concept artists and sound designers who've got nothing to do until they do make a new game.
Right. I mean, I don't know. I'm on a mix with this one because I feel like this is one of those cases where maybe they should throw all their eggs into one basket because, like, they've already fucked up real bad. I'm like, you should maybe move on. I think they should move on. Like, we're done. I don't think anyone's going to view Cyberpunk in a good light. Like, truly the way they want it for a long time. Like, maybe when it's revisited in another 10 years and people are like, whoa, this was actually a technological, like, fucking advancement or something. But until then, I just don't think it's much. Oops.
Well, Nintendo don't think that the 3DS and Wii U shops are much or earning much in any case, because they have decided that they're closing the eShops for those two consoles in 2023. this is going to follow a gradual shutdown where in May this year, you're no longer going to be able to add funds using a credit card to your eShop account on the Wii U or 3DS family of systems. And then in August of this year, you're not going to be able to use a Nintendo eShop card to add funds. You can use funds to buy stuff until late March 2023, when you won't be able to buy anything anymore. But they have said that for the foreseeable future, quote, it will still be possible to re-download games and DLC, receive software updates, and enjoy online play on Wii U and Nintendo 3DS family systems. You mean there are games on those systems that still get software updates?
Yeah, I was going to say, they get software updates? What? Like...
I mean, the 3DS hasn't had a new game for probably 3 years, is my guess.
Has it only been that long? I don't know. I feel like it's an older... Like, for me, it feels like an old console just because I got mine from, like, a friend because it was old to them a few years ago. Like they were just like, here, I've had this forever and handed it to me, and I've loved it ever since. So I always feel like it's old, but it's not that old of a console, is it?
No, the Switch is 5 years old, though, and they stopped... By my memory, they stopped releasing games on 3DS after a couple of years. Let's see. According to Wikipedia, so take the information with a grain of salt, the last game to release on the 3DS was Dragon Fang Z Rusha Rose to Yadorgi no Mikiyu in December 2019.
I love that game.
Yes, it's the best of the series.
In 2019. Oh, that's not... Okay, I mean, that's a few years ago. Yeah, it's 2022.
Oh, I take it back. That was the last game released in Japan.
Oh.
There have been a lot of games released in America right up until May last year.
Really?
Yes, they appear to be ports of other games, of mobile games, of this company, New Game, small N-U, capital Game, all one word, have released a ton, and according to their Twitter account, have released a load of Android game ports on the 3DS.
That seems a little pointless, I won't lie, but all right.
Bricks Defender 1 through 5.
No.
Bricks Pinball 1 through 6.
Oh shit, dog.
You can get all 6 Bricks Pinball on the 3DS.
That's crazy. But not anymore.
Oh. not in a year.
Not in a year. You know, part of me, like, from the business standpoint, this makes sense. Like, yeah, the Switch is kind of where they put all the... They do put all their eggs in that basket, and I can't blame them, because the Wii U, I understand. Like, first of all, that, yeah, we're moving on from that. It hurts a little with the 3DS, because I still have one, and I still use it. But, you know, that it makes sense. And this is a good time for 3DS users to maybe learn about their 3DSs and how they work. The fun times. You know?
Yeah.
That's on Nintendo, so.
If they were to perhaps Google 3DS hacks guide,
yeah,
they might find a website called, I don't know, 3ds.hacks.guide.
Oh my gosh. You know, and it's one of those things is with the store shutting down, everyone should probably look into that, cuz I'm sure Nintendo won't care as much once the store's shut down. Why should they give a fuck? Right there. They've given up, so why should you?
There was a part of the FAQ that mentioned But it's a long question, but the end of it says, doesn't Nintendo have an obligation to preserve its classic games by continually making them available for purchase? The answer amounts to, we currently have no plans to offer classic content in other ways other than available on the Switch Online. This entire section of the FAQ is no longer on the website.
Right. Yeah, I bet. Yeah, I fucking bet. Oh my
because, God. No, they don't feel that they have an obligation and they don't you to think that they have an obligation.
The answer was literally no. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's some shitty fucking game practice right there, in my opinion. I really believe in preservation, so I'm a little biased in that. Like, I don't think I believe so much in media. I'm always trying to find lost media. Like, I really hate that media gets lost. I really hate that things get, like, destroyed. I hate that we can see things in our lifetime that we'll never see again, and I really hate that. We could play games that we'll never play again, and we have, like, when Flash went away. Fucking the DS store is closing, so I'm sure the Wii store, when the Wii store closed, I believe there was WiiWare that was like lost forever because of that. So there's like all sorts, like it sucks. It sucks so much. I fucking hate it. And Nintendo does not give a shit about preserving things like that. And it really hurts my heart. And it kind of is like, it almost puts it on like the community itself. It's Nintendo wants to know why people, sail the high seas and all that. Well, there's your answer. Part of it's preservation right there. Part of it's accessibility.
Yeah, the most insulting thing for me is that on the back of this news that they're shutting down the store, they revealed the top 15 best-selling games on the 3DS eShop in Japan from 2011 to 2020. Oh, rather than read all of these lists of majority Japan-centric games, such as the At Simple DL series, I just gathered the top games from every year, and they are Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, Animal Crossing New Leaf, Monster Hunter 4, Pokemon Battle Trozzi, which was also known as Pokemon Link Battle, Monster Hunter X, Pokemon Yellow, Monster Hunter Generations, Pokemon Crystal, The Battle's Cats Pop, a Japan-exclusive tower defense game, and Animal Crossing New Leaf. Yes, that was on there twice. In 2012 and 2020.
Oh my gosh.
Because, you know, pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's mostly Animal Crossing and Pokemon over the last 10 years.
That sounds about right, though, to be honest.
Yeah. it's probably the same in Nintendo of Europe and Nintendo of America as well.
Yeah, I imagine it can't be that different. I feel like not everyone I know, but like a lot of people with 3DSs and Switches too, but you know, like in general, like they play Pokemon. Nintendo people play Pokemon. There we go. People who own Nintendo consoles always play Pokemon, and they always play Animal Crossing. Like, we've seen this for like 2 decades now.
And Monster Hunter. But yeah, there's the virtual console, and we're never going to see the virtual console again once the stores have shut down for those two.
No.
Because they've got the Switch Online, so they don't need a virtual console.
I think that's so crazy, to be honest. This whole, like, everything's on the Switch Online. It's very, like, you're forced to get a Switch if you even want to enjoy, like, old things. Which is the point. They want you to buy that Switch, which they have not dropped the price on. Oh! they really, like, it's a 5-year-old console. This is fucking ridiculous. Sorry. I'm mad about it. I'm very mad about it. Like, it feels so forced. It's very much like they're going to exhaust everyone else's way. And they're definitely going to start, like, suing, like, they already do sue all the sites that, you know, keep these games up online and stuff, but you know they're going to start doing that even harder again, because they go through periods where they lay low a little bit, and then they strike really hard again every, like, once in a while. You know they're going to start that up.
They do seem to specifically target sites and individuals who are making money off of their ROMs.
Yeah. Well, yeah, people shouldn't. I do think it's shitty that people try to make money off of. Like, I do think that is shitty.
If I can't,
I worry about.
If I can't pay Nintendo for these games, I don't want to be paying anyone for these games.
Exactly. See, that right there is a whole thing. Like, I don't think it's right for sites to charge anyone for another company's ROMs, especially. But fuck, that's like, oh man. I hate that. Like, it's shit.
You're paying for a service.
Like, I think that's what makes it so hard, too, is, like, it's almost hard to defend sailing the high seas once again just because of sites like that. Like, it really fucking sucks. There are people out there who are trying to capitalize off of preservation and piracy in general. And that's not cool. Like, I don't think anyone should be capitalizing off of it. If anyone's going to capitalize, it should be the people who made the original games. Like, I'm what? Weird on this one. Like, once money's involved, my I go back to, like, piracy is wrong, to be honest. Because I don't think other people should be making money off of it. But once there's, like, not, like, when it's normal sites, to be honest, like, that aren't charging people, I'm kind of like, who gives a fuck? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been kind of wondering if Nintendo is secretly, like, really, really low on money. And that's why they are super, doing stuff like that, taking people down, shutting down their services, stuff like that.
Could you imagine? I don't think they are, but, like, could you imagine if it turns out Nintendo is just secretly, like, on the verge of bankruptcy this whole time?
Well, a few years ago, I read an article about some Japanese developers talking about Japanese games not being as popular as they were before, and, like, feeling pressure to switch more to make their games more Western. And, like, I can see that kind of being true, that Western games are more mainstream and they sell better than, like they're more cinematic and stuff like that, and Japanese games are typically more focused on the gameplay. And, like, that might just not be selling as well as it used to. And, yeah, I mean, it's a possibility that Nintendo's just not doing as well as they used to.
Nintendo needs to make Yakuza games. Because those are cinematic and Japanese.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, they are... Even though they are cinematic, they are still pretty gamey, so yeah.
I like how you're telling Nintendo to do what Sega does.
How could you?
Well, from Nintendo and Sega to a Japanese company, Square Enix. Because the producer of Final Fantasy XIV... Naoki Yoshida has had an interview recently, a stream interview, one of those, and went on to talk about NFTs and blockchain and all that fun stuff, and it has made it clear that NFTs will not be added to Final Fantasy XIV. But that's just because of the way the game is designed. He went on to say that if a game was designed from the ground up to incorporate NFTs, that would be something interesting to pursue. So I kind of wanted to meld this into our main topic. What does a game built for NFTs even look like?
Jesus Christ.
Because NFTs in gaming is... The dream is that you buy a skin in one game and can use it in a different game. That's the dream that this scam is trying to sell gamers on.
Is it like...
How would that even work? That's like full model swapping. How the hell would that work?
Is that like the fact that you can... that you buy an NFT and you can use it across multiple games, is that the integral part of what an NFT is?
Well, the actual NFT is the fact that you own something, not the thing you own.
See, like, that's where that gets me confused, too. Because, like, once again, the idea, like, is that you could have a character and swap it through games or whatever that fucking means. It's, you'd have to have a model. You'd need a model. And they don't make things. The whole point is these things aren't real. They're just the ideas of things in the blockchain. Like, you can't get a model. Like, they don't have that in the... Like, it's not... You could get a picture of a model. You get a link to the idea of a model. But there's not a physical model you're going to have. And so that it doesn't make sense. I'm like, that doesn't even work in the first place with the idea of what NFTs are.
So in theory, all the games that are built to incorporate NFTs, they would need the assets, the gun skins or the character skins or the voices, etc.
built. It would literally need like everything. Like they'd have to all be connected, every single NFT game, because they'd have to have, like, or you'd have to be given, like, they'd have to... It'd have to be really, like, these games would have to be accessible for modding in the sense that you could mod your model into the game, or the game, it's already in there and you've unlocked it with your blockchain. So everybody's going to either have to be, like, working together to make all of these dumb pieces connected on all of their different games, or, like, they're going to need to all make their games interchangeable. What the fuck? I hate this. This is, like, the dress-up game version of, like, NFTs. Okay, sorry.
So the when you decide I want to use my pink unicorn gun skin in this game, and it's an NFT capable game, it will need to check that you own this NFT on the blockchain, and then load in that skin, and then you play a game, you come out the game. Next time you go into the game, it needs to check again that you still own this skin, that you haven't sold it on whatever marketplace, many, many marketplaces. And then, so it's going to increase loading times. It's going to increase energy usage in your house, on servers, server farms, whatever. So it's even worse for the environment, because how many times are you going to load up a game in a day?
Oh my god.
And it's got to check every single part of the blockchain to check who, because you're playing a multiplayer game in this instance. So it's got to check if everyone who's playing owns all of their stuff, so it can show you that they are playing with all of their stuff.
Wow. Fuck, that's so stupid. I'm sorry, this is stupid.
As a thought experiment, it's awful.
Like, every single fucking week, something new happens with these damn NFTs. And I sit here and I'm like, seriously? Because, like, it's obviously the next step, admittedly. Like, yeah, that's the next, like, idea of this dumb innovation in this, like, circle jerk of guys coming up with, like, NFT ideas. But it's bad. It's just straight up, it's a bad idea. It's bad for the environment. I don't see how it would work, to be honest, well. Like, you explained how it worked. I don't think it would work well no matter what. Like, it just sounds dumb, you know? Like, just, it's not a good idea. It's going to be a lot of work for a lot of people. It's going to be very damaging to the environment. Really, there's no winners here. Like, one guy is going to maybe get $1 million out of that. And hopefully he won't lose it. He's doing the same damn thing the next year, you know. Actually, hopefully he does lose it. But I mean, like, nobody's winning. Nobody's winning with any of this NFT stuff. And it's so stupid. I'm so upset we talk about it every week. Like, why is the world doing this to us?
The exact quotes from Yoshida about the unrelated to Final Fantasy XIV is, I do believe the vehicle itself could potentially be something that makes the concept of a video game a little bit more interesting.
What?
That being said, we would need a specific game design that would accommodate for the concept of NFTs. So, whenever someone says something like that, it's just that. It's floaty nonsense words. There's never any concrete ideas. Because nobody's thought about it.
Like, everyone is like, I think the concept is interesting. And that's as far as they go every single time. And it's all concept-based, too. Like, NFTs themselves are just concepts. Like, it's so fucking stupid. And that's all anybody says, because there's nothing real behind any of it. Like, oh, the idea, the concept of it is so interesting. Like, I don't care if it's interesting. Stop it. It's not interesting. It's not even real.
The idea of making money off of these things is really interesting. I mean, it was in the news, last week, week before, that Melania Trump tried to sell an NFT, and it was purchased by the company that put it up for sale.
Yep, I saw that. That's what a lot of them are, though. Like,
yeah, the only people making money are the people who are selling them to their friends.
All the rich people, like, all the celebrities that have one, like, usually are given them. Like, they aren't buying them. Like, actual rich people are not buying them. They are most of the time given them. And then they, you know, push it because they were given it. Like, I don't think, like, Jimmy Fallon knows what an NFT actually is. I think he gave Paris Hilton one because he was given one. And, you know, both of them have NFTs now. And it looks like neither of them bought those. In fact, there's a trace. Someone's shown that neither of them paid any money for either of those. And they found the company that gave them to them. So it's like, no one's actually buying them in the first place. It's the stupidest thing. Oh, everyone's like, it's a scam to get people who think it's an investment because they see rich people have them to buy them. But it's not an investment. And rich people don't even care about these things.
And poor people can't afford them.
Well, that's what the prices of them
all are so high.
That's like what the scam is, because you're going to get people who are like, who are so stupid that they're going to actually put themselves into debt over this shit. And a lot of them have, like, we've seen it with Bitcoin and stuff like that. Like, they actually think it's worth something. So they put all of their, like, money into it. And they get nothing in return, and bam, like, they're fucked now. We see it all the time. There's a lot of NFT scams, really. Like, it's crazy. But people are still falling for it, to the point where game developers that, like, I respect, like Yoshi P, are fucking into it. And that's horrible to me. I can't even imagine a fucking Final Fantasy NFT game. Like, how would that be good? How would that be good? And what? Are all your, like, Final Fantasy... Like, you get your own Final Fantasy characters. That's not cool if you don't get to customize it yourself. Do you get to customize it yourself? Or are these all pre-generated? You know what I mean? Like, all NFTs usually are.
No, I get to use the Buster Sword in my party because I bought the Buster Sword NFT.
Could you imagine buying, like, the idea of the Buster Sword and no one else in the game can have it?
Yeah, you can't get it. Look at my Buster Sword. Oh, it's pink because it's a special one that I paid £4,000 for.
Oh,
I don't know what exactly Yoshida's thinking with the NFTs, but like there's parts of the idea of NFTs, not the entire thing that like is. It's something that could work in a sandbox MMORPG where, like, you have different, like, you can have land ownership inside of a game. Maybe that's the way he's thinking.
Because Square Enix is gonna hire Gores. No.
Because I talked a couple times to a friend of mine who's a game economist, basically dealing with economies inside of games, like money, trade, land ownership, stuff like that. And he said that parts that NFT style not NFTs specifically, but NFT style mechanics could work and like be basically compelling game mechanics in a sandbox type MMO without it being without all the sleazy stuff. Because like there's stuff already that we have already that's kind of similar. Like, I mean, already we have online games and we can buy stuff inside of online games, like skins. Not that we own them exclusively, but we don't really own those things. Like, we pay for them and like the next day they could shut down the server and that's gone. We don't own that anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, in some ways we already have NFTs in some small tiny way. So yeah, like there's definitely parts of that idea that that could work. Like, I don't know, there's definitely some fiction, like Japanese light novels, particularly that deal with MMOs that have stuff like that, where MMO feels right, like real life, and like you can own a building.
Ooh.
So, yeah. I'm kind of rambling.
So we already have NFT-like stuff, but there's parts of NFTs that would work. But we already have them, you just said.
What?
Yeah. I mean, like, I can't... I feel like it's like... Because you're right, we don't actually own a lot of the stuff we buy when we buy it online and stuff like that. Which I fucking hate. Thank you for reminding me that, Gores. But, like, it's not like you own... Like, none of these problems get solved by NFTs, you know? So it really... It's just furthering this problem, which I find very funny. Like, we're just adding more problems. More problems. And that sucks. God damn it. Ah!
I mean, I want to reiterate that... I'm not talking about, I'm not supporting the idea of NFTs. That there's specific parts of idea of NFTs that, like, we already have them, and, like, there's some ways, I think that's how Yoshida might be thinking, that he sees some ideas in there that he could use in making a game.
Yeah. And he sees potential, but he should be.
Because he's a smart guy, and I don't think he wants to exploit his fans, the fans of his games. He just said a comment like, yeah, there might be potential there, and like they are blowing it up like he's... yeah, give me your money.
Well, I think part of it is there is, like, Square Enix in general has expressed a lot of interest in NFTs. Like, any day now, we are going to be getting Square Enix NFTs. I fully believe that.
Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, have we already fucking started getting...
No. I'm just saying, okay. Kingdom Hearts is going to be the first, I guarantee it.
Oh, probably. They want to get. I don't know because they'd have to get Disney in on that. And I don't. Are Disney doing NFTs? Probably, but are they?
I mean, they like money.
They do, but I don't know if they're actually doing that. Like, that's the interesting thing. I don't think I've seen an official Disney NFT.
Is Tom Holland on NFT?
Yeah. I don't know. Kingdom Hearts. They'd have to get Disney on that back in November.
Back in November, they started to release NFTs.
Then, yeah, you're totally right. Kingdom Hearts is going to be the first one since Disney's already doing it. Any day now. Holy shit, that's horrible to think about. But, like, I think that's, like, part of it. Square Enix maybe is almost kind of pushing all of their people maybe to look in the direction of NFTs. And I think the scary thing is, like, with Yoshida saying this, is... Yeah, it's not going to be in Final Fantasy 14 because Final Fantasy 14 isn't made for that. But we, like, Square Enix might make that game. They might be the, like, first ones to truly venture into real NFT games, and that's kind of bad. Like, because no matter what, it's bad for the environment. But it's, I really don't want to see NFTs be furthered personally. So, like, to see an advancement in that would suck. And to know Square Enix is behind it would also suck, because they, like, they always make top tier shit. I will admit that. Like, there is, like, even when a game is bad, it's usually at least visually stunning. And, or the other way around. Like, they're interesting. They usually make good things. So it really is like, oh God, like, if anyone can make a good, in like a good feeling NFT game, because no matter what, it's bad. But if anyone can make a good NFT game, it's Square Enix, and it's horrible.
I've just had an awful thought, and I apologize before I say it. The only people who support NFTs are people who own NFTs. Like you said, Fallon was given one, and he is pro NFT. People who buy them are pro NFT. Mm-hmm. The Vita was an NFT.
The Vita, the PlayStation Vita, is my NFT personally. Like, I own it.
Because we were saying before, the only people who don't like the Vita, people who don't own a Vita.
Fuck.
Shit,
oh my God. Oh, I've been the enemy all along with my PlayStation Vita.
I think we've reached the end of our podcast. Thank you for joining me, Gauze and Prince.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Greencast, and better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrin.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Pals Anime Lounge podcast. And until next time, game on.